Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to True Crime. In today's society, criminal activity is considered especially heinous. We are here to discuss and dissect these reported crimes. These are the stories.
I love it.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Adult Zone.
Good evening. You have tuned into the right station. This is the Adult Zone.
Yes, it is. This is a brand new segment. I'm your host with fresh heart, with my focus.
And I'm Black Reporter.
Right.
And we have breaking news.
If it's not about anything about tonight, I don't want to hear it.
It is about everything about tonight.
And what's that?
Breaking news concerning Mr. Zimmerman, whose attorney.
Oh, we haven't even gotten here. Can we say hello to the people? We've been going all week. Can we say hello to the people?
Okay. Good evening, folks. Good evening, folks. Huh?
Can we do that for a minute?
Yes, we can do that for a minute. My apologies.
Let's just relax, you know, before you jump the gun and run all over to Zimmerman's side and all that other stuff. We haven't even gotten here yet. Can we say hello to the people? Can we introduce ourselves? Can we let them know what tonight is first before you go hard like that?
My fault.
Okay. So, once again, let's start over. I'm your host with Crush Heart, with my co-host,
Black Reporter.
And we are here with a brand new segment. Today is Tuesday. This is the Adult Zone. The brand new segment is called True Crime. And what we do during True Crime is we take today's news lines, or news headlines rather, and we examine, dissect, and discuss all of the above. And, you know, we decided that today, every second Tuesday, was going to be this new segment. Now, Black Reporter is anxious, so excited to reveal to you the brand new breaking news that I'm sure he's seen on CNN. However,
no more.
Before we get into the breaking news that he gave us, before we get to that, Black Reporter, how was your weekend?
Weekend was good. Weekend was very good. Matter of fact, I'm back in my comfort zone. I'm back on my phone, so I don't have to worry about getting tired and going across the hall, going down the hall to use a different phone and everything. So, things are on the up and up.
Okay. Everything is cool on my end. I had a good time at Brick's house last night. We got into good times at Brick's house last night. And
I'm sorry, I couldn't stay the whole time.
Huh?
I'm sorry I couldn't stay the whole time.
Right. And speaking of Brick's house, we have the hostess with the mostest of Brick's house available on our channel today, but I won't bring her on until she raises her hand. I see some other people. I see we have the 704-681. What's up? Thank you for tuning in. And we also have the 225-281.
225.
Hello. What's going on, Lady C? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
You're doing good.
What's up in that red stick?
Same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's coffee season, so hey.
But How are things with you, Lady C? How was your weekend?
It was good. It was, I had a good weekend. I went to church, came home, and enjoyed the day by myself.
Aw, that sounds fun. That sounds like my weekend. My weekend was cool. I didn't go to church. I'm not even going to act like I did. I did not do that. I was not.
You didn't go to church on Easter?
I'm like, but I wasn't trying to get struck down. What's going to happen? I wasn't in that mood. That's a whole topic in itself, but I didn't want to do that.
Okay.
So, on that note, like I said, tonight is True Crime. And tonight we will be talking about. Tonight we'll be examining the Trayvon Martin case, the Irving Jefferson case, and the Kendrick McDade case, who are all young men that have been gunned down with no arrest made. We'll also be discussing black parenting and the talks that black parents have with their child in the process of them growing up. Now, I'm going to need everybody's support on this one because everybody got children but me. That's on my panel today. So I'm going to need y'all 2 cents. I'm going to need y'all to participate with me, help me, hold me down. We're going to get into that the second hour, which is Black Parenting. On that note, Black Reporter, release your news.
Yep.
I hear it on the tip of your tongue. Release your news. What you got for us, Black Reporter?
The state's attorney in the case in Florida says that she will make a decision on she will make a decision within 72 hours on filing charges against the Zillow.
That was your breaking news? I got that already.
Well, you may already have it,
Lady C. Lady C, you see this? I need.
Yeah. I am not finished. You're not giving me a chance to finish.
Go ahead, finish. breaking news.
Someone's attorneys have dropped him as a client.
We knew that already too. But go ahead.
No, you knew that already.
Oh, exactly. Brad Reporter, can I ask you a question real quick? What do you think I be doing on my computer for 12 hours, 18 hours, 23 hours of the day? What do you think I be doing on the computer? Answer that, honey.
Well, the thing is, you be finding the
honest answer. What do you think I be doing on the computer?
We be finding the same stuff.
I understand we find the same stuff, Black Reporter, but you came in here like you had brand new news. They announced this 5 o'clock this afternoon. So how is that breaking news that we here at 9 o'clock?
Okay.
Anyway, folks, now since we have jumped the gun, I thought it was something brand new. It really isn't nothing brand new. Why don't we start at the beginning, Black Reporter, since you've been keeping up with this case. Tell us about Trayvon Martin. And what are you talking about? Fill the people in.
My feelings go back to the 911 call.
Wait. Scratch that. I said tell us about the case. I didn't tell you about your feelings. Remember, we never talked about Trayvon Martin officially on this trip.
Okay.
So you have to tell the whole story.
Right.
Okay.
You need to start from the beginning. You need to start at February.
I am starting
to be dumb if you want to think. We don't know nothing. Inform us.
Okay.
You can't be.
I am
starting.
I may have used the wrong words, but I am starting from the beginning. I forget what evening it was. Was it a Sunday evening? I'm trying to remember. February 26th. I'll put it like that. I don't remember what day of the week that was. There was a security guard in a Florida gated community, supposedly, that saw a young man with a hoodie crossing across the law. The supposed security guard or neighborhood watch followed him. This
well,
man was not there.
Things, you know.
Huh?
Security guard and neighborhood watch, they are two different things.
Yeah.
Well, he calls himself neighborhood watch.
Well, he calls himself self-appointed neighborhood watch captain.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Was not dressed in any sort of uniform. Did not have a badge of any sort, but was armed. Somehow, some way, these two got tied up and tussled up and everything, and that's still up in the air. And George Zimmerman shot Trayvon Martin. I'm going to bring a little bit a different viewpoint into this real quick.
Don't bring a little different viewpoint. We didn't get to that yet. Don't do that. Can I just go ahead and grab the rings and do this real quick?
Go ahead.
Can I just grab the rings? Okay, folks.
Go ahead.
Let me just grab the rings a little bit and just put it to you like this. On Sunday, February 26th, around 7:20 p.m., Trayvon Martin, a 17-year-old teenager, high schooler, was on his way home, which was in Sanford, Florida. He was on his way back home from going to the 7-Eleven. Whose background is that? Oh, feel free. Is that you, Black Reporter? Yep, that's you.
Wow.
You got all that noise in your background.
Nope.
Well,
it's
you
about me.
Yeah, it is you, actually. excuse me.
What does it sound like?
It stopped now, but you had, like, the fan or something like that in your background. Anyway, so 17-year-old Trayvon Martin had went to 7-Eleven, picked up some snacks, and he was on his way home. George Zimmerman, 28-year-old, self-appointed neighborhood watchman, considered Trayvon suspicious. He was in his car and he was following Trayvon Martin, and then while he was in his car, he called 911. When he called 911, he was talking to the dispatcher and he let them know that Trayvon Martin was unknown and he was a black young male walking in the neighborhood and he looked suspicious. What happened was next, George Zimmerman got out of his car. He got out of his car, and he was confronting Trayvon Martin, still on the phone with 911. The dispatcher said, "Don't worry, we're sending the car out," and he asked him, "Was he following Trayvon Martin?" George Zimmerman said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Well, sir, do not do that. Wait for authority." Trayvon Martin happened to be on the phone with his girlfriend at the time, and the girlfriend said they lost contact. There was a tussle, like Black Reporter said. Next thing you know, there was a shot. Trayvon Martin was shot directly in the chest, one blow, and before he could make it to the hospital, he was pronounced dead. George Zimmerman was looked at the scene. From there, he was arrested, handcuffed, and he was taken to the local police department. That's all we know right now. Did I leave anything out?
There is one slight thing. He wasn't arrested. He was taken into custody. But as far as quote-unquote being booked and everything, he never was. There is still a question of whether he will ever be, he will be arrested. But that's what Trayvon's mom still wants, is
right.
For him to be arrested.
Right.
That
now,
still hasn't happened.
There are many facts, there are many stories and many different views about this incident online. Believe me, I know, I've read a lot of them. there is a couple of things that have been happening with this case. One, a lot of stuff has been claiming to come from the parties of both George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. A lot of information sort of leaked. And so in some instance they believe that some of the stuff leaked will be used in helping Cortez if he is arrested and they do go to trial, they want to build his case, so to speak, both Trayvon Martin and both George Zimmer. So, you know, they want to basically, they're indirectly letting you know, like, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to do it, this is why I did it, so forth and so forth. George Zimmerman has not been arrested. George Zimmerman claimed that it was in self-defense, and George Zimmerman also claimed the stand your ground law. That's the defense that his legal team was going to go with.
Former legal team, I should say.
So you didn't say it, now did you? You can give us a call at 805-830-8320. Now, like I said before, there's a lot of different things going out there about this case as far as stories being leaked, as far as what happened that night, so forth and so forth. I am not going to play the 911 call. To me, it's eerie, it's creepy, and it's very saddening, so I am not going to play those. What?
That's it, right?
Right. I'm not going to do that. I feel like, you know, that's not meant for me to hear. I've heard them like bits and pieces, like listening to the news thing, but I'm not going to do that. Black Reporter.
Yes, ma'am.
What else do you know? Okay. All right. May not be fast. What else do you know about George and Trayvon, Black Reporter?
George Zimmerman. One fact that was released early, but everybody's been snuffing it out lately, but nobody says anything about it. You know who his father is?
Whose father?
George Zimmerman.
Yes, I do know who his father is. Do you know his father?
His father's a judge.
Actually, his father's not a judge. But go ahead.
And he's not a judge?
He is not a judge.
Okay, that's probably one of those misconstructions. That's probably... because that, at the very beginning, that was one of the things they were saying, that it did not go to being arrested because the father was a judge.
No, actually, what happened was that is one of the facts going around, like I said, that people are using. Robert Zimmerman, who is George Zimmerman's father, is not a judge. He's a magistrate.
Ah.
Right. He's a civil officer. He was from Virginia, and then they migrated down to Florida. You know, he retired and stuff like that in Florida. But what he doesn't do trials or anything like that. They got that, you know, he's a judge, you know. He isn't a judge. He doesn't do trials or nothing. What he normally does is he does like arrest warrants, search warrants. And
yeah.
He does, you know, somebody needs bail. He looks over those types of things.
Okay.
somebody needs bail. They have no right. That is not the case with George Zimmerman and the dad. That was one of the facts that they got misconstrued, so to speak. What else? Well, let's look into George Zimmerman's defense. George Zimmerman said it was in self-defense. And a lot of people are saying George Zimmerman had 100 pounds over Trayvon and so forth and so forth, which is not true. According to the police incident, Trayvon Martin was only 6 foot tall and weighed 160 pounds.
That's correct.
George Zimmerman is 5'9" tall. And according to police reports, according to family and friends, he was about 190.
190?
Right, he was only 190. So there's only a 30 or 40 pound difference between the weight as far as Zimmerman and Trayvon was concerned. A lot of people are also getting misconstrued because of the pictures that was being put out there of Trayvon. Trayvon was 17 years old. Trayvon was technically, you know, in some cases, a grown man.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, as far as physical appearance is concerned. You know, at 17 years old, and, you know, just a few months shy of becoming 18, he was a grown man. You know, and we see pictures of him when he was 12 and 13 in elementary school.
Yeah.
You know, not saying that, you know, we're taking lightly of what was going on, but we are going to look at the facts in this situation.
Right.
Another thing that was misconstrued is the Department of U.S., Department of Justice was conducting this broad investigation into the civil rights abuse about a Sanford Police Department and things like that. That is not true as well. What happens is the department is only looking into the civil rights investigation whether Zimmerman violated Trayvon's rights when he shot him. That's all they're looking into.
Although, I will ask just one question. It makes you wonder about what that shooting was about last night.
What?
The shooting last night? With the police car over by the school? There was a police car placed by an elementary school, and somebody pumped 4 shots into it.
Was Zimmerman in that car?
No, I'm just saying.
We don't care about that. If Zimmerman was not in that car, we don't care about the car.
Okay.
Now,
I'm just saying the temperature in Sanford, that's what I would refer to.
Okay, Black Reporter.
I didn't say nothing. Let me see. Also, once again, Reverend Jesse Jackson has said Trayvon was shot in the head. He was not. He was shot once in the chest at close range. Now, I don't know if you've seen it, Black Reporter, but there's a video that was so-called leaked out that they took from the Sanford Department, Police Department, that actually shows George Zimmerman being taken into custody, as you say, on February 26th.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Did you see both versions of it?
I seen them take him from the car. I saw one of the officers kind of look on the top of his head, not really examine if there was anything wrong. if supposedly, you know, now if supposedly, you know, I didn't see any injury to George Zimmerman or anything of the sort, and they brought him in, normally you would see them print him and book him, but you didn't see any of that.
Right.
You just saw them bring him.
They just took him in for questions. They only took his statement.
That's
they
it.
They brought him in, took his statement.
They claimed that he was looked at the crime, at the scene of the crime. The ambulance went over him one time. They didn't collect anything from under his fingernails, any type of evidence. They didn't collect his clothes. They didn't do no toxicology report to see if he was under anything. They didn't do any of those sorts. All they did was bring him to the station, as you've seen in the video. They sat down with him. They had the conversation. They got his side of the story. And then a couple of hours later, he was released.
Yeah, let him go.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then they say, well, the whole thing that we have now, that it was a race situation. Somehow, some way, Trayvon Martin was black. George Zimmerman is Hispanic, people. He's white Hispanic of origin. He is not, you know, just white, but, you know, as far as you look at him, they say he's white. But he's multicultural, so to speak. And race has been the key motivation, so to speak, of this killing. George Zimmerman has called 911 over 49 times in 1 year. About some type of suspicious behavior going on in his neighborhood. Every time, it's like every time he's seen a black person, he called 911. So, Black Reporter, what do you think caused that whole racial stir?
Just by
what you know, the facts of what happened that night. And the fact is, like, what do you think is the backbone to that, to just, you know, the fact that, you know, he was a racist or this was, you know, a racist crime? What do you think?
Idea of a black kid with a hoodie on. What I was going to bring up earlier was Arsenio Hall was on Piers Morgan this week.
Mm-hmm.
And when Pierce asked Arsenio what was his viewpoint on the Trayvon Martin shooting,
mm-hmm.
Arsenio said that he's got a young man, 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
and right now they aren't together because Arsenio is busy doing Celebrity Apprentice in New York City while his son is in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And he's always told his son to walk very quickly if he sees violence by someone,
mm-hmm.
that you can tell. I mean, if someone's in uniform and a man tells you to stop, you stop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a man's uniform. And he's definitely confused about what to tell his son.
Mm-hmm.
And goes back to that talk
mm-hmm.
we were discussing earlier about what should you do when you're being pursued by someone of a different race at night and they don't have a uniform on?
Mm-hmm.
You know? What do you do?
Right.
Lady
C? Mhm. Can you answer my question, please? Can you give
okay,
me some?
Okay, state it again to make sure.
Right. Okay. So the whole thing about the Trayvon Martin case is racist. Like they saying that he did it because he's a racist. That was his motivation. He's seen a black boy that didn't belong. He asked him, "What you doing here?" Trayvon Martin asked him, "Why he's following?" Like the whole thing was. He's a racist. My thing is, what out of from this scenario, out of the fact that you know about this scenario, what conclusion did you come? Like, how do you think the world, so to speak, has come to the conclusion that he's a racist?
Because it's the calls to 911 because of black men in the neighborhood, and he saw a black man. We keep saying a young boy, but like you stated earlier, he was 17, six, a man. He had a man's stature.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a black man that he didn't know of, mm-hmm. and he had, and in his mind, a black man in that neighborhood, a gay community at night, shouldn't be there. He don't.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know it. So it was fear.
Mm-hmm.
He had fear of something going down, and he was going to stop it before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So from you saying the 911 calls, and like they told him, don't go because they've heard from him so much, and they probably told him, just stay in the car, we got it, because they've heard from him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a regular.
Mm-hmm.
I think they never thought that he would do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I said, no, you stay in the car, we coming, we got it covered.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess he was at the point where I'm tired of waiting on them because they just don't see what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a black man, and he probably didn't answer like, you know, most of us, no uniform on. Because if you walking down the street and a black man tell you, hey, woman, look, where you going? You ain't going to stop. You going from the bus to an apartment. You ain't stopping to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
You may look back. You don't see no uniform. You don't see no badge. You don't see no flashing light in your mind. I'm not stopping.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a bad situation all around.
Mm.
And it was his fear. It was his fear of what he thought black people did. And it, apparently he had a fear of black folks breaking in and stuff. It's the fear. And he let the fear take over.
Okay. So I'm going to hit on this last topic. Rick, you wanna contribute?
Well, I thought you'd never ask.
You never pressed the one. The thing is, Rick's been unmuted since I mentioned her name. You never pressed the one. Right. She's been unmuted since I mentioned her name.
But I did press one.
You never showed up. Right? You've been unmuted since I mentioned your name. I said she needs to press one. You know,
I did press one,
never
and I realized, and the woman didn't say nothing, so I said, ooh, I must be on. Okay. So I said, watch what I say, because I know how black people are around hot mics, so I didn't say anything.
Hot mics, huh?
See, I knew the mic was hot.
So, before I get to my next point real quick, because like I said, this is not, you know, there's other stories I want to get to. What is your answer to the question?
Could you repeat the question, Alex?
My question was, what do you think is the influence? Like, how did people come to the conclusion that Zimmerman was a racist? From the fact that you heard from the videotapes and everything that you know about this story, what do you think made that, you know, why people made that assumption?
That he was a rapist?
Racist. Good grief.
Racist. Oh. Okay, why did you say rapist? You lost me. But okay. Well, the fact that this man is a racist is, you got to look at the evidence. Okay,
mm-hmm.
You got to look at everything that's come out about this man. Okay. I like how the media keeps spinning on the fact that this man is Hispanic, like that means something.
Right.
Like Hispanics aren't racist.
Right.
It's almost as if they're saying, well, you know, it's like a chihuahua having something against a Doberman. Like,
right.
You know, like that's what they're trying to compare it to.
Right.
And, you know, they're like,
right.
In the end, they're both dogs.
Right.
And it's kind of like
right.
They keep throwing the fact that this man is Hispanic, okay, or he has Hispanic origin, okay, over the fact that this shouldn't be a racial, why are you guys pulling the racial card? The guy's Hispanic. Like, there's only a such thing as white on black crime. Like,
right.
There's no Hispanic on black. There's no Russian on black. There's no Russian on white. There's no, you know, I mean, come on. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, the media is really, really doing damage to this case. I'm going to be totally honest with you.
Right.
You know, the media, you know, you would think it would be a good thing, but I think the media is doing a lot of damage to this case. I think the fact that it's so, this case is so overexposed now, is to the point now where anything, any action on behalf of the prosecution is going to be looked at as suspect. Any action on behalf of anybody, you know, that's supposed to be on the side of the law is coming into suspect now.
Right.
Okay, you can't believe anything. And I think that the whole racist thing comes in. Well, you know, and it doesn't help when you got racist people, you know, on CNN, and you got racist people on Fox News reporting the already racial news, you know, so they got to put their own little spin on it every 5 seconds, like the one up there that said the word niggas in the broadcast, okay, the other day, you know. And I'm like, you know, it's not helping the fact that the media is putting their own spin in it as well, giving their own opinions. It was once upon a time the media would just report what they got. Now everybody, every broadcaster wants to put their own little damn spin on it. Well, you know, I feel like it's just unjust. Something needs to be done. Somebody asked you. Report the news and shut up. But back to your racist question, I do believe that, you know what, I think that everyone got the racism over the fact that, you know, it was a big cover-up, you know. I mean, they couldn't deny it. Even whites were coming to this boy's defense. And the fact that, you know, this man didn't even put on that website that he apologized at all for anything, for any of the pain and suffering that he might have caused, whether it was intentional or not intentional, shows you right there that he doesn't care. You know, he doesn't care, you know, about anything about the situation. He's just in it for himself. I think
I appreciate that.
You know, well, I do think that it basically plays a role. The media plays a bad role in it, and I think that's where all this, you know, if it wasn't racial before, it damn sure is now.
Right.
Thanks to the media.
Thank you, Black Reporter. I appreciate that. Like, I want to get into my next point.
Did you call me Black Reporter?
Yes, I did. I did call you Black Reporter. Because every time I tell Black Reporter something, Black Reporter got to leak it before I leak it.
Okay.
Black Reporter always got licking for licking. Now getting to my next point, there is an official website called therealgeorgezimmerman.com. He created it yesterday.
Yeah.
And on this website, he puts a letter out, so to speak. And the letter that he puts out is to his supporters and his friends and family, mostly to his supporters. Like Black Reporter, breaking news, George Zimmerman Council has fell back. They no longer represent him. They still believe it was in self-defense, but they no longer represent him. Why? Because they feel, first of all, they said the last time they was in contact with George Zimmerman was Sunday night. Sunday, they talked to George Zimmerman, but since then, they have not been able to text him. He has not answered emails. He has not answered phone calls. They said that he has talked to Fox News exclusively, off the record, interview with Fox News, and he also called the prosecution. Now, the prosecution said, we cannot talk to you unless you have your lawyer present. And that, and in his next statement, he said, those are not my counsel. They are just my legal advice team, so to speak.
He said he can't talk that way. As long as they're not his legal counsel, he can't talk.
Right. They have said this, but you know, they said they can't represent him any longer, because they feel like they in the background, he's not keeping up to par, he's not following through, you know, with his stuff. But they do still say that it's in self defense. So they're resigning. So like I said, let me get to this website. On his website, TheRealGeorgeZimmerman.com, he has five different links that you can click to. Home, the facts, my race, album, and contact. The long, you know, you get to the facts. He says, you know, he does quotes from different people, and then he just thanks his, once again, he thanks his friends and, you know, publicly, personally, and stuff like that. Like, he doesn't answer anything specifically. He just says thank you to everybody for their help. And in the same instance, he also just, he asked for money. He asked for money. Like, if you want to, he created a PayPal account for the website. You can donate money to this man. He asked, you know, thank you to my supporters. You know, he's saying that there's another website which his father had created, Robert Zimmerman, that was asking for money to fit for his defense fund and his legal fund. And he said he's not receiving any of the funds collected, and he needs to support his family at this tragic time. So he has a PayPal account where he collects funds, and so he can receive all his funds. Even donations is appreciated. Now, not once, like Brooke said, not one time on this website do he says, rest in peace, I'm sorry, you know. I mean, it's one thing, and they're using the defense that George Zimmerman is having a nervous breakdown, so to speak, post-traumatic stress disorder. That's what they're coming to. You know, he's not handling the situation, the way the media is spinning, and all this other stuff. My thing is, if you're innocent, if this happened by accident, or if you did it in self-defense because you felt violated, my thing is, wouldn't you speak your piece? Wouldn't you say, you know, I deny all accusations or whatever that's against me. I did not do this. I was not intentionally trying to harm this young man. I was protecting my, if, you know, wouldn't you say something as that effect? And wouldn't you feel some type of remorse where you had to, whether it be a photo of a rest in peace sign or, you know, a something of that nature? I don't know. I'm just saying it. Maybe I'm wrong. But I just feel like he has a photo album, and the only thing the photo album says is justice for Zimmerman. And I like I tell you, through the whole site, there's this donate button. So the whole site is a donate button, and he has, like, little quotes up there. And he updated it, and I guess people are contacting him. He updated it. The last time he updated it was this afternoon at 1:30, and he was like, I'm attempting to respond to all my supporters, blah, blah, blah. So my question is this. If you is claiming self-defense, if you're not arrested, you know what I'm saying, there's no charge against this man. So technically he's a free man. So in the midst of all this stuff going on, and he's no longer in Florida. According to his defense team, he's moved out. He's in hiding. He's no longer in Florida, they're saying. He moved. If it's true, I don't know, but I'm just going by what they're saying on the media once again. My thing is, wouldn't you say put some type of remorse or something like that? You took a person's life. If it affected you that much, you took somebody's life. I mean, what? Am I the only one who's seen this? Like, what are y'all thoughts on this? Black Reporter, what are your thoughts on it?
Crush, you gotta remember, this man is 3 years younger than you. And I think you have way, way more intelligence than he does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's only 28 years old.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what type of schooling he's had.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think he would know the first thing about, I mean, he's get the front of his sight for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think he wouldn't know for some thing. And whoever gave him his advice, I give it to him out of a cereal box. But that's the only thing I can see.
Mm. What about you, Lady C? What do you think about that?
I don't think he's not showing any remorse, and I'm like you, he should. Even if he says it was self-defense, it was self-defense, I didn't mean to kill him. You know, I mean, it's something that is tragic. There's nothing more to say, this was a tragic thing that
happened. But he didn't even say that.
That's what I'm saying. He could have said that. And his age, he's a product of, the video game age, where they really don't have remorse when it comes to killing. You're so used to just doing it on the game, and he was a self-proclaimed neighborhood watch.
I can understand that, you know, he may not get charged, but he's still going to have a civil suit. Okay.
Yeah.
So I can understand the collecting money and so forth. This man can't work nowhere. So I understand him putting that out. I really do. I'm looking at it objectively, I understand him asking. He cannot go nowhere and not be recognized. He really can't. And, you know, his pictures out there from way back when up until now. You know, he has been arrested before for domestic violence. He has been, you know, like, this man is out there. So they got his mugshot floating around. They got the video floating around. He's done got death threats, all of the above. So I understand, you know, even his post-traumatic stress disorder. But I don't get it. What do you think, Brick? What's your comment on it?
Well, I think this. Okay. Plain and simple, you know, with that whole website, okay, it shows right then and there how, you know, I mean, the basic audacity of this man, okay? First of all, not only did he murder this young man, okay, in cold blood, okay, yet he has the nerve to build a website, okay, and ask the public for money for himself. This man is a classic narcissist, okay? He thinks of nobody but himself, okay? He has to sit up here and build a website for himself to get funds for himself after he sat up there. First of all, this man has a history of being violent and overly aggressive, okay?
Right.
That's first of all. Second of all, this man self-appoints himself. He deputizes himself, okay, and goes out there on the streets. Okay, and calls it upon himself to go around, okay, and clean up crime the way he sees fit. Not the way the law sees fit, but the way he sees fit, okay? Then he goes out there, he does this, because the fact that his father is a magistrate, okay, somebody who's well-respected in that town, instead of them doing their due diligence the way they should do, they sit up there and say, listen, go on home, we'll clean this up. Go on home. That's how I believe it all began in the first place. They probably told him, we'll clean this up, you just go on home, and we'll straighten this out here. Okay? Thinking that the boy was just going to, you know, was probably hoping. That's why they fishing for all this stuff on the boy. They're trying to paint this boy with as much problems as they possibly can to get over the fact that this man killed him. Okay? They're trying to justify this man taking this boy out of this world by bringing up everything that he done in the past, like they passed squeaky clean. And the thing about it is that they can't find nothing on this boy, okay? They can't find nothing on him. And you know what? I say it this. You don't know how many times they done probably covered up nonsense in the past for this man, okay? This was a little bit too easy for them to do, okay? For them to just turn and look the other way. It has gone on before. For them to have this much blatant disrespect for the law, okay, to do this point blank and don't even care, okay, about the law, they've done it before.
Right.
They have obviously done this before. This is not something new.
Right.
And I think that this man has a lot of nerve to bring his ass on, got to build a website, okay, post this nonsense, and put a PayPal something up there. I wish I could PayPal something in there that would fix his ass. I really do. You know, because this is something ridiculous.
And the fact
I wish
is,
I could PayPal some spit as soon as he opens his computer, it spits right in his face.
Oh,
because this is, I mean, it's disgusting. Mm. I mean, come on, think of, Crush, how much are we supposed to take? People, I just want to say this one thing, and then I'm going to get off my soapbox, okay? We cannot let this situation, I've seen that over the weeks, this has kind of lost its momentum. We cannot let this movement lose its momentum. We need justice for this boy. This could have been my son up in there, you know, before the grace of God. This could have been anybody else's child. You understand what I'm saying? And you will want somebody to do it for you. Don't get back into your regularly scheduled lives of you know, programming of nonsense. Let's take care of this here and get justice for this boy and his family. Because if they do it to him, they can get away with doing it to you. And they're going to do it to somebody else. And they're going to continue to do it until we just have no voice. And then we'll be back in chains again. This was absolutely ridiculous. I think it's hard.
Okay. Go ahead, Black
Reporter.
The things I say, and then I'm going to do something else. Go ahead, Black Reporter.
44 days. That's absolutely ridiculous.
I hear what you're saying, Black Reporter, but an investigation takes time, so to speak, right?
Depends on what color you are.
Okay.
Exactly. You said
okay.
Right on that.
Thank you for saying it.
Okay.
Thank you for saying it, Lacey.
You wasn't thinking
thank
that.
You for saying it.
I want to take it somewhere else. We are reaching 2 minutes to the top of the hour. I also want to bring in, it's not only Trayvon Martin in the last 3 months, so to speak. It's not just Trayvon Martin. We have some others that also have been shot and killed and no arrests have been made. Out of Atlanta, Georgia, a young man named Irving Jefferson, 18 years old, a father, he had a little daughter. He was home one evening, and some fight or something went down, some commotion went down. And he ran outside to get his little sister and bring her inside. Down the block from where he was staying, there was a housing complex. And they had security guards. The two security guards, one got in the car and one went on foot. They ran out. They looked at Irving, they seen him, they shot him, one officer shot him, and then the other officer ended up driving over his body. Okay? The security guards have not been arrested. They claim Irving was coming towards them, yelling and carrying on, and they looked like he had a piece, so it was a self-defense. They ended up shooting him. The police there confirmed that he was shot in front of his home. They actually left their apartment complex to go check out the suspicious car or whatever that they heard a gunfire down the block. That's what they saying they did. He was unarmed once again. He does have a baby girl. There is I'm going to put the link up on my website because there is a link for his kids that you can go and donate money and stuff like that too. But they say the investigation is ongoing. We have not heard anything about this case.
No.
Black Reporter, have you heard anything about this case?
No, this is my first time hearing about the case.
Right. I'll put the link up so people can check it out and so forth and so forth. It was a private security guard. Once again, he was 18 years old. His mother actually seen it happen. His mother was upstairs. she looked down. She see the security guard shoot her son. And then when she got down, the witnesses saw that the car was literally over his body.
Now, before we run out of time for the hour, why don't you mention the situation in Pasadena?
Why are you going to rush my show?
Oh, I'm sorry.
How are you going to rush my show like a woman? Ladies, you see how I'm in on?
Yeah.
You see how I'm in on?
Wow.
How men are, Lord have mercy.
Yes, how men are. You see how
I mean, you won't even let nobody say nothing about the story.
Right, I couldn't even get to answer a question. Like, I could have had like 12 questions lined up. I couldn't even answer the question. How are you going to just rush my story? Like, anyway, like I was going to say, Hi, Chef.
What up?
Hi,
Oh,
how y'all doing? How y'all doing? How you doing?
What's up, Chef?
What's going on, Black Reporter? How you doing? Miss Drake,
how
you doing? And Miss Lady,
how
you doing?
I'm doing fine, Chef. How you doing?
All right, just taking it easy right now.
I'm happy I called. Black Reporter trying to cry. Black Reporter trying to cry for help.
Don't take a side.
Anyway, the investigation is ongoing. Chef, you heard the story I just told you about Irving Jefferson in Atlanta. Have you heard about the story?
I vaguely heard about the story, like I vaguely heard about the Trayvon Martin story, but these are two stories that actually, well, especially Trayvon Martin's story, that actually kind of get to my heart, to be honest with you, because, like, more so, well, with both the stories, these are two individuals who actually shot and killed, like, two kids where they're not even cops, and that's the point right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing. And, like, with Terry Martin's situation, you know, I ain't going to try to be emotional right now, but it kind of hit my heart because he's in the heart. He's from Florida, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Trayvon Martin.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the big boss in Florida, at least do some type of song or whatever. At least, like, give, like, the proceeds of the song to him, to his family, because
they are coming out.
9 out of 10 times.
They're in the process of making a song, though. But go ahead.
I mean, that's cute and all, but this is 40. It's 44 days. Mm-hmm. Come on now. You want access to an actual studio? They got all these rappers in New York. All these rappers are trying to make a name for themselves, trying to be different, trying to set themselves from apart. All these rappers that use your show's clutch to actually say, like, yo, I'm a rapper. Look at me. Nobody can fucking do a song for something?
Actually,
come
they
on
did.
Now, man. Like, yo.
Trayvon.
No, this is not, you know, like I think, like, in situation like this, a lot of people could wake up instead of just wearing hoodies just to look cute, just
mm-hmm.
to take pictures. People could wake up and just use this as a wake-up call to actually start changing shit around them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially not even cops. These are not even cops. These are people who actually might have the ability to carry a gun, but at the same time, they have no reason to shoot nobody.
Mm-hmm.
They're not no cops. Like, that whole thing just really pissed me off, yo. I'm about to go to the studio tomorrow. Since all these New York rappers ain't saying nothing, since the big boss ain't saying nothing, since a lot of all these other rappers ain't saying nothing, that's why I say something. Only rapper that's saying something is a rapper who is a valedictorian. And that's a, what's his name, Fife or Price or whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very sad situation. Like people want to sit there and wear hoodies and such, but nobody's, like, really standing up and really, like trying to change nothing. It's a very sad situation. And I'm sad that, like, even with a young man being shot and killed, like nobody's even trying to attempt to even trying to say, trying to attempt to change what's going on here.
Right.
And they, no matter how much they words, no matter what they say, you have a hundred, you have thousands, you have millions of people that actually follow your words. That if you say, like, I want to change, they're going to change. And getting still, nobody's saying nothing. That's fucking sad, y'all. That's fucking sad.
What you got for me, Brett?
Well, I'm unfamiliar with those two stories that you mentioned. I haven't really heard that much about them.
Uh-huh.
I think I heard the one you stated about the young man who, I think, something with his sister.
Right.
That one sounded familiar. I think I remember that one, but I wasn't familiar with the other one.
He was unarmed, and he went to go get his sister from outside, and they ended up shooting him dead. And they also said that the police officers are African American, actually.
It's sad, but you know, we as black people sometimes, you know, we get a little bit too much, you know. We do a little bit too much butching up, and we feel like we got something to prove, you know what I'm saying, to our white superiors and the white police chief, you know, and the white mayor. So we try to look like heroes, try to look like, you know, I'm going to show that, you know, I'm down for the law and not my own people, you know. So your heart is on your own, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You end up being hardest on your own. And that's not only goes for the police and the youth. That goes for the workplace. That goes for anything. You know, you got a supervisor who is a black woman like yourself, she's going to be the hardest on you. You see what I'm saying? That she is on anybody else in the office. That includes the black men, and that includes the white women and the white men. That's
right.
Because she's got something to prove, you know.
That's what
I think it's sad that a lot of these police officers go out here like they have something to prove. So they figure if they can bring in enough black perps, it'll show that they're really doing their job and they're not just trying to, you know, fit in or just trying to give them a passion because they're black. And I think that it's unfortunate that these young people are losing their lives because the police, you know, because they fit some kind of profile, okay, that was put together by the white man in the first place, put together by him to basically say that, you know, this is what you need to look out for.
Right.
This is what you need to watch out for. You know, that's why, you know, I know it's sad, and I know that, you know, We should have the right to walk around any way we want to. And you know what? I may get smacked for this comment that I'm about to say, but quite frankly, I really don't care. I have to live and walk these streets. But I tell my son, you know what? I'm not going to sit up there and take a hoodie away from you. I'm not going to do that. Okay? But I think that you need to be mindful. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with putting it in their head that they need to be mindful that this image is not an image that's a fan of society. You with a hood on your head. I know you have the right to wear a hood on your head. Okay? You have that right to wear your clothes whatever way you want as long as you're not harming somebody else. But you need to be mindful that there are a lot of other people that choose to walk around like this and they are suspect. So you should not be surprised when you get pulled aside, okay, for looking such a way. Like, just like it's going to be the same thing that if I want to walk down the street with a garters on, a garter belt, and thigh-high fishnets, you know, with half of my behind hanging out, and I want to stand on a corner and maybe use the cell phone or something like that, I shouldn't be shocked if a car or a cop car or someone comes along and tells me to move along.
Right.
Like I'm soliciting.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? I shouldn't be surprised. No, it's not right. And yes, in a perfect world, you have the right to wear whatever you want to wear. But be mindful that this is what you're going to have to encounter if you choose to look like this. And that not only goes for a hoodie, that goes for a hat turned to the side, that goes to wearing the color red, okay, or wearing the color of too much black, because we got gangs out here. That goes to wearing certain bracelets on your arm, a certain tattoo, whatever you choose to put on yourself, has some kind of origin.
Right.
Okay? And all the origins are not good.
Yeah.
You know, so that
that's
is something that you need
you.
To be mindful of.
Right. Go ahead.
That's what, just a reminder, you're listening to True Crime on the Adult Zone right here on Full Therapy Radio. It's Monday night. It's the Adult Zone. I'm Black Reporter along with my main host.
It's Tuesday night.
My apologies, folks. My apologies. Along with my main host for Crush Heart. And we have in the house with us the host from Rick's House, the lady who you just finished with the soapbox, Rick herself. And Lady C is in the house. And the fool, Mr. Chaz, is in the house.
Yes, sir.
And who else? And who else do we have in the house, Crush?
Me. No.
I think I have you.
We have a guest 12960 in the chat room. We also got the also sexy Fun 752 in the chat room. Hi, son.
Woo-hoo! Hi, son.
And we also have
Hi,
a friend.
Son.
Friend. Oh, gee whiz.
See, there you go. Go ahead, lady. See.
Hi, son.
And we also have a new friend to the show, the also shy, Sunny Sunshine in the chat room, who says that, Brick, you're right, and as long as we don't question the action of these cases, it will continue and it will get worse. The police
That's
will continue
right.
to cover things up and make it seem like it's our fault.
Exactly.
So that's right on point. Right on point. And
shout out to Sunny. Fuck off.
In the chat room. She's making the first step. She's making the first step. Hopefully one day we're going to have her on the line. But she made the first effort.
Yeah.
So big shout out to Sunny in the chat room.
We're really nice people.
I'm really not mean.
Don't be afraid.
I'm really not mean. I'm glad you said that. I'm really not mean.
Yeah.
Once again,
we also have. Hold on. We also have one more caller. From the 614. Bring him on real quick. What up, Jay?
What's up?
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
What's up? You know, it's bullshit that you can't walk around and express yourself. Living experience, it's kind of stupid, but it actually happened. We had our backyard fenced in. Mm-hmm. I went out to feed the dog, and a fucking cop pointed a gun at me.
Mm-hmm.
No shit. No, and my dad came out and said, what the hell are you doing? He said, we caught the criminals. My dad said, what did you do to keep from getting shot? I said, I screamed like a bitch. Why the fuck do you think you came running, man? Guy kills a kid, and they 44 days and nothing goes by. I got a game I'd like to invent for him. It's called Vengeance Is Mine, Bitch, Part 2.
Amen.
And on that
Amen.
Note, let's bring in the next caller we have from the 414. We haven't had 414 in here in a long time. Hi, 414.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, y'all.
Lady, Steve, what's up, big girl?
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm fine. What's going on, family? I miss y'all.
You're the cream
of my heart, baby. Hey, wait a minute. Let me clarify that.
Huh?
Hold up. Everybody except for Black Reporter, because last time I was on this show, he didn't acknowledge me. He was mean to me. Hi, Mr.
Black Reporter getting his ass out of
I acknowledge you, baby.
Hi, Rick. Hi, Don. Hey, Black Reporter.
That was cold.
I'm just joking. What's going on, Black Reporter?
Not much, baby. Not much. So,
for Lady D and Brick and Crush and 414, I'm having a Klondike bar. You girls taste so good.
My God. You are.
All right, John. I can never have a show without my people flirting. Good grief.
I'm just saying, I need for y'all to call into my show tomorrow.
Have a show?
I've been posting it all week. Remember,
I told you. Tell us about it. You got to tell us about it.
My show is called Renee's Midday Groove, mm-hmm. and y'all missed the crazy show. I just say go on Blog Talk, check out the archives. It went down.
I heard it.
It's going down.
Yeah, I heard it. Check it out.
I was tuned in for a couple of minutes earlier today.
Yes, it's crazy. So Friday, not you, Black Reporter, but for La Crush and Brick, that's Ladies' Day. I'm not trying to be mean. It's Ladies' Day.
All right.
No.
We're going to be discussing topics that, you know, is important to us ladies. All the music I play are going to be by ladies because I don't just do underground. I do underground and industry.
Okay.
I don't discriminate.
Oh, yeah. And that's on Friday, right?
It's on Friday.
I travel underground, too, man, but I come
up. It's 12 to 2 Central Standard Time. So from 12 to 4, we got lockdown, 12 to 4. So from 12 to 2, you got Renee's Midday Groove, and from 2 to 4, you got the Smoke Session.
So that's 1 to 5 Eastern Standard Time. So.
Exactly.
All right.
All right.
All right. All right.
So what's y'all talking about today?
Well, today we're talking about youth. We touched on the Trayvon Martin case a little bit. We talked about a young man named Irving Jefferson in Atlanta, Georgia, who was shot and killed a couple of weeks ago. But now I'm about to take this conversation to another...
Hey, the cops who shot that guy, were they white?
No, they were black.
Well, they called security guards.
White cops is crazy.
Yeah, they were black security guards. So I'm going to take this to another level.
Oh, man, that sucks. Now you can't even trust the black cops no more.
I'm going to take this to another level, and I'm only going to take it to the lower level because we have a lot of parents on the scene. Now, in parenting, especially the black parents, I'm singling out black parents. For all those that have kids, please pull up and give us your input, 805-830-8320. We have what you call, and I guess all parents have this, they have what you call the talk. There's three major talks that you have. You have one, which is the sex talk, a.k.a. the birds and the bees. The next one you have is the drug talk. And the next one most of us might have is called the race/authority talk. And I want to start with somebody that has a teenager.
I got one.
You got a teenager?
Yeah, I got a 14-year-old.
Okay, did you? Oh, that's perfect, because I wanted to know, did you have any of these talks with your son or your daughter yet?
Well, my son, yes. When he was 12, we had the... SEX talk. There's kids in the room, so.
Can they smell? Now, let me ask you.
I felt kind of weird having it with him because I'm his mother, and I felt like that was something that his dad should have been having with him, but can't always be that way. So, you know, I told him, you know, what to look for, what not to look for, what to bring home, what not to bring home, strap. You know, what to do.
Right. So, let me ask you this. Before you had this talk, did something dramatic happen for you did an incident happen for you to say that it's time for us to have this talk, or did you feel like this was just the right moment for him to have this talk?
It was the right moment because he was 12 going on 13, and at 13 I lost mine, so I wanted to prepare him.
Oh.
The same way I'm going to do my daughter.
Okay.
And I somewhat started it with her only because times have changed from when I was their age.
Right.
So, and I'm a firm believer that I'd rather for you to learn at home than to learn in the streets.
Okay. Okay. So,
but that's just me.
Right. Totally agree with that. Now, have you had a talk with either of them yet?
Have I had who?
The drug talk.
Yeah. You know, I've told them, you know, what it could do. It's not good. You know, I've had that talk, but so far, especially with my son, by him being 14, I haven't had any problems. I haven't had, like, the normal teenager problems yet, which I'm so glad of.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay.
That's true. But I know he's getting ready to go to high school. So, you know, I'm expecting once he hit ninth grade in the fall,
right,
something's going to change.
Right.
It will.
Right.
You know, he's into sport. He's, you know, he's very athletic. He's, you know, his main thing is basketball. But we all know, we've been teenagers too. Once we hit high school,
yep,
everything changes. You start getting more interested in the girls, and, you know, peer pressure really sets in. You know, you got your friends smoking cigarettes, weed, drinking. So, yeah, I'm prepared for it.
Okay. And my last.
Okay, go ahead.
And my last question for you is, did you have a race class authority talk with him? Have you had that? Like, did he come in contact with the police or somebody in the court?
I haven't. As far as race, that's kind of a. His stepmom is white, so.
Right.
I really haven't had that discussion with him yet. But with this whole Trayvon Martin case.
Uh-huh.
I do plan on sitting down and having that discussion with him. And, you know, he's one of those boys that wears hoodies, so I'm really leery on that now. And that's probably one of the few things that me and his daddy actually agree on. Like, his dad doesn't want him to wear hoodies now, and, you know. So, but I haven't actually, per se, sat down and had that talk with him yet. But I do need to.
Would you have
a
daughter?
Yeah, I haven't had it with my daughter either.
Okay.
I have a question for you, Renee. What happens if one of them, your son or your daughter,
mm-hmm.
and they're at that age,
mm-hmm.
their eyes are open now, brings home somebody white? And seeing that the step-parent is white, I can understand that, but talk to me.
I let me clarify this first and foremost. I'm not a racist. Me personally, I can't do it. That's me. But if that's what he chooses and that's what he likes, as long as she is treating him right, go for it. The same thing with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not my preference. But
yeah.
I want them to be their own individual. So if that's what if that's what he likes, go, by all means, as long as she's treating you right and she ain't doing nothing, you know, trying to put her hands and none of that on you, she's treating my son right, by all means, go for it. If you happy, then mama's happy.
I think so because CNN did a program recently on race and friends and how younger kids that are like 6 and 7, black younger kids will say that anybody is their friend, whereas white younger kids will kind of stay with their own kind. And as we get older, when we get to around 12, huh? When we get to around 12 or 13, that's when you start seeing black kids start leaning more toward, you know, black friends, and white kids lean more toward white friends. And sometimes they may venture over to the other side and realize that we're all the same and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think it just depends on the environment, the, you know, the type of school or whatnot that they're in. And like with my son, he's always been at school where there were multicultural.
Mm-hmm.
So he's used to, you know, so he has, you know, black friends that he plays basketball with. He has the Puerto Rican friends. and he has a white friend. So he's had that diversity. The same thing with my daughter. It acts, you know, so they've been exposed to the different diversity. So it's not like they were only being around just one culture. They've been around.
And you know something? I agree with you, because my daughters were around, I mean, we lived in a mostly white neighborhood in Arizona. We moved from a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood, when we lived in Phoenix, to a mostly white neighborhood, and that changed my children's viewpoint quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, my oldest daughter, she dated black guys, but she also dated white guys.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I say I wouldn't be surprised if one of these days he brings home a white guy, blue dude, and says, "This is going to go to marriage, Daddy."
Okay.
And I'll say, as long as you treat her right, you know. So.
Okay. I want to get to the next. I want to get to Brick. I want to get to you, Brick, because your child is slightly older than Renee's. So
mm-hmm.
I want to know the stages that you went through with your kid. Did you do the sex talk with your son?
Well, I did the sex talk with my son. I didn't do it as early as Renee did it with hers. I didn't do it as early because my son was never really into video games and playing around, and, you know, he just didn't look at girls like that. He wasn't looking at girls like that. So I had to talk with him when he first entered high school, which is where she said basically she's having hers with her son. When he first entered high school, and only the reason because he was always taller, he's tall, and he started getting facial hair already, like the little mustache was coming in. Mm-hmm. And while he didn't see these changes, I saw the changes.
Right.
You know, coming out the shower, looking at the little abs starting to form.
Right.
Okay. You know, the voice. Since his father had a very deep voice, has a very deep voice. He's
mm-hmm.
inherited that same deep voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed this, and I decided to have the talk when he came home. I think it was the first day of school, and he got a whole bunch of papers, and one of the papers was a statement about condoms from the school.
Right.
And I had decided if I wanted him to be able to get condoms from the school if he asked for them.
Right.
It was like a release you had decided. So if you didn't want your child to receive any, you know, you had decided to send it back to school.
Right.
And I remember him saying, "Okay, I need that form to take back to school." And I said, "No, you're not taking this one back." And he said, "Why?" I said, "Because I'm not signing it. I want you to be able to go to the school and get condoms if you want some. I want you to be able to go to the nurse and say, 'Hey, can I have some condoms?' And she gives you some." And so that kind of sparked the talk
uh-huh.
that we had about sex.
Uh-huh.
So our graduate school introduced it the way they did, as if you don't want your child to have them, sign this and bring it back. I said, "No, I want you to have it, so I'm not signing it and you're not giving it back. I want you to be able to go." So I talked to him about it. I talked to him, and mainly because, you know, I noticed little girls looking at him, smiling,
right.
giggling, and all this other stuff. And, you know, they were noticing him before I think he was noticing them. You know, now he's into girls now, and so I'm glad I had that talk with him early. But he's not into the loud, crazy girl. I'm glad he's not into that. He's not into the loud girl, the yelling girl, the fresh girl. He's not into girls like that. He likes his girls like he is. He's very quiet.
Okay.
And I felt that I had to, you know, just tell him about it because, like I said, his body was moving faster than he was.
Right.
You know, and girls see that, and unfortunately, little girls are really fresh these days. Little girls are really fresh. And I noticed from what I've observed and what I've seen with my own two eyes, living here in New York, how little girls are and how fast they are and how more advanced they are. They will just come up to a boy and just, you know, "I like you," and just, you know, get on their knees and all this other nonsense.
Okay.
And I had to prepare him for that, that's not the kind of girl you want to be involved with. Any girl that's going to sit up there and just give it to you that easy is going to give it to anybody else as easy. So you don't want a girl like that. So I did school him. I used very down-to-earth terms. I didn't sugarcoat anything, pee-wee and pee-pee and all this other stuff. I used the proper terms, and I even used some street terms. that he was, like, surprised I was familiar with. I said, if a girl asked you to go down, and he was like, bah. I'm like, well, you know, I'm telling you what it is. She want to give you head. She wanted this. She wanted that. I used the exact terms because I wanted him to know that you should never be afraid to talk to me about anything. I want you to talk to me. Okay, if some girl comes to you and says that you don't know what it is, she'll say, Mom, what's this? What does it mean when she says she want to, you know, want me to lay some pipe? What does that mean, Ma? I want you to be able to come to me and ask me what that stuff means, you know? And we just sit down and talk about it. So we have an open dialogue about, you know, sex. Sometimes I'll kid with him, like he'd be in the room, like, what you in that room doing? Let me find out that he's over here messing up my walls. You know, I make little comments like that. So we have a very down-to-earth relationship when it comes to that. We'll just talk about it. And, you know, he can know that he can just come in here and say, Mom, what's this? Something burning down. What's going on? You know, come to me and tell me if something's going on. So we have had the talk, and it does work for us. And when it comes to the drugs, we talked about that. My son doesn't even, he didn't even like when I smoked. I had to quit smoking because I got sick and tired of him telling me, oh, look at this, you're killing yourself. Remember the commercial? The man, the lady only had three toes. Look at this. You know, he's constantly throwing that at me. You know, but I used to smoke. He used to make the noise the guy do on TV. To, he do that, stuff like that. So I'd be like, all right, I quit smoking. Because so I know I don't have to worry about him smoking nothing because he's like, smoke, that ain't for him. You know, drinking, he's not a drinker either. You know, he doesn't like the fact that his father drinks. So the fact that he doesn't like these things tells me that, okay. I mean, I guess I pretty much don't have to worry about him doing it because he hates them. It's like it really makes him angry when I used to smoke. So I stopped smoking.
Okay.
When it comes to the police now, police matters in him, and I just want to suggest this. I don't know how it is in other states where you guys live. We live in New York.
Right.
And the police here, there are a lot of police activities here. Like, we have a police athletic league. We have, like, precinct council meetings that you could go to. I encourage everybody, get to know your local police department. And I say this because you never know, okay? Knowing somebody in that precinct can save your child.
Right.
Trust me. I say this, I speak from experience. Okay? If your child happens to get caught up in something and one of the officers knows you, they'll say, wait a minute, that's a good kid. I'll take it. Let me call his mother. Let me tell her what's going on, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I encourage you. There are some good cops out there.
Right.
Get involved in the police athletic leagues in your area. Get involved in the precinct council meetings. They have a national night out every August. The whole world, the whole United States, everybody, every precinct holds a national night out. That's a little fair that they throw. Sometimes they'll have games and activities. The police come out, and it's like a night out against crime. And it's all over the United States. Every single city has it. So go out to your national night out. Meet the captains. Meet the sergeants, the inspectors. Meet these people. Get a rapport with these people. Introduce your children to these people. And I'm telling you, if something, God forbid, something goes down, these cops know your kid. They're like, wait a minute. That's Brick's kid right there. I know. No. I know that kid. That's a good kid right there. And you'd be surprised how far that goes. My other suggestion to you is if you have boys or if you have a girl. If you have boys, and we know how these boys grow. I took my son down to the DMV and got him a non-driver's license, an ID. Because even though he looked 16, he looked, you know, he could be mistaken for a 19 or 20-year-old easily.
Right.
And now it's against the law to walk around without ID. Everybody has to have an ID.
Right.
So take him down there, spend the $10 it takes, get them a non-driver's license, ID. Get them a state ID with their name on it. It'll be stamped across their face under 21, but at least the cop or whoever stops them can see that this is a minor they're dealing with.
Right.
Because when the cop stops you, he's not going to ask what's your name. He ain't going to believe a thing you say.
Right.
He ain't going to believe that you're 16 or 17. He's like, no, you 21. You acting stupid. You playing with me.
Right.
So I just recommend those things for y'all, the parents of teenagers, whether it be a girl or a boy, Prepare.
Right.
Don't wait till something happens to say, I should have, I could have.
Right.
Do it now so that, God forbid, when something happens, you're ready.
Right.
You know how to go in and you know who to ask for and how to get your child out of there. And trust me, that could be the difference between your child being in handcuffs or your child just sitting by a desk waiting for you to come and get them. And you walking out of there with your kids. Trust me. Get to know the police. Get to know.
Thank you, Bert.
Okay.
Thank you, Bert.
We have Sunny Sunshine. Damn it, Sunshine in the chat room. And I asked if anybody had any teenagers. She said she had a 7-year-old son. And they already had the race talk. And I asked why so soon did they have the race talk. And she said it was an incident. They actually had it when he was five. When he was five, they had a, she had to explain to him why the teacher wanted him to stay away from his little white girl. And they didn't want to have, they didn't want it to be an issue raised. And, you know, she had to, basically she had to, they got too friendly together. And I guess the teacher felt that it was a need to address it before the little girl parents had a problem with it.
Right.
And she also said kids can't be kids anymore.
That's so wrong.
Oh.
I think that's so wrong.
Yeah.
We stop our kids from being kids.
Right. I was getting ready to get into that.
You're right. Go ahead, Crush.
I wanted to just say that, like, you know, kids aren't kids anymore, and I agree with Renee when Renee was talking about her kids. But you know, a little background on me. I don't have any children, but I did work with youth. I was a street outreach worker, meaning I worked for a clinic. We had this big mobile home, you know, and we had it decked out, and we had condoms, we made packets, and I was the lady on the 125th Street corner handing out condom packets to people. You know, I've even had guys actually go home, use the condom, and come back to show me that it broke. Like, it was really that serious. You know, they drugged. We helped them with the drugs. If they were homeless, they could come on the van and they could shower. We had clothes, we had sandwiches, we had all that kind of stuff. That's the kind of work I did. I am also certified to do pre post test counseling for HIV and AIDS and all that other stuff. So I was already, and I was young when I started doing this. I was 21 when I started doing this, and I had kids as low as 12 and 11 and 10. Mm. Coming up to the van. Now, we can't help you if you're under 13. By law, we can't help you if you're under 13. If you're over 13, you can actually get services without your parents' consent in the state of New York. Right. So you got to imagine these kids, like, you can, a 13-year-old can go to the clinic and ask for condoms and don't need their parents' consent. A 13-year-old can go to the clinic and get tested and so forth and so forth. And I've seen this firsthand where these kids was 13, was 14, was 15, coming to the clinic and getting services and, you know, asking crazy questions and stuff like that. So, that, you know, that's why I know a little bit about this topic. Now, I want to get to Black Reporter and Lady C for the simple fact that y'all have older children. And
yeah.
I want y'all to dust off that memory bank. and let me know, when did y'all have the talk and how was it for y'all back in y'all time? Because remember, I'm glad I'm asking everybody to have a different set of kids, because your time of, when your kids were teenagers, way different now, you know, that we have teenagers now. Like, they are so exposed to so much. Thank you, whoever.
Well, I'll let Lady C go first.
Oh, thank you.
Since she has so many.
I have a son and four daughters.
Okay.
I also have 10 grandchildren. I have one that's a teenager now. So I know the difference, and I've talked with her. I talked with my children. I start talking to them at the ages of 9, and they were stepsisters. So I started talking to them because it was their family background on their father's side. It was an open discussion because their great grandmother was a madam. So it was something that would come up and stuff. So I started talking to them about it and explaining to them, and I would. Like, my son, we had an open relationship. We talked about everything. We would get to the table, me and my kids, and go to talking. My baby girl told me at 9 years old, she described the sex act to me, and I'm looking at her like, wow, really? And so I had to explain to her what it really meant. So I was surprised that she knew that much, so I had to give her all the details. I had a book that I let them read that explained, and I like, Rick said, I never gave it a pretty name, like Pee-wee-wee-wee, Bob and Mimi and stuff like that. It was a penis and a vagina. Mm-hmm. And things could happen if they get together, you know, and don't get pushed into anything. I gave them that talk. I gave them the drug talk, and I've been blessed that I've never had a child go to jail. I gave them the race talk early, my son especially, because he used to have to walk home from middle school because we had moved out of the area and he wanted to stay at that school. So he had to walk through the neighborhood, and he looked it older than what he was. So I had to give him the talk and explain to him about if you're stopped by police or if they don't have a uniform on, find out what's going on, or know somewhere that you can stop. Know your friends in the neighborhood where you can go to their house if you need to get help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it can happen. When he went to college, he was brought up, devil thrown in his face a couple times because he went to a black college and they went over to the white college to hang out and they got stopped because, well, why are you over here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they learn, you know, and like Rick say, if you know the police and you get to know the people, it helps. And it's a difference, y'all. It is a difference in talking to the kids about sex. Now, my granddaughter, 13, I mean, some of the things they know, it surprises me. We were at home, and all of them knew about condoms. I did, like, the 9-year-old and the 12 and 13-year-old telling me about a condom.
Right.
They found a condom. Oh, that's just a condom.
Right.
That's just a condom? Okay.
Right.
You know, so you learn that you have to be open enough. My granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter, no, she can call me about anything. Yeah. If she can't talk to her mama, call me. I'm not going to fuss. I need to know. Somebody needs to know. And I'll point you as best I can in the right direction. I always want, my children knew that. When my daughter first lost her virginity, she didn't know how to tell me. She came, my oldest daughter came and talked to me. She was crying. She said she thought she was in love. And she just thought I was going to fuss. All I asked was, did you use protection? And she said, well, yeah. I said, okay, I didn't think you were ready, but you said you were ready. But that's the only thing I pray that they use protection because I know hormones, when you think you're in love, you go crazy.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it's just something you have to learn to keep an open rapport with your children.
Right.
To this day, I still have it. All my, you know, you have to let them know, come talk. If you can talk about it. You may not like what your children tell you, but you should have them to have the ability to put it on the floor and let them know if it's something that needs to be checked out or looked at. You know, like you say, those children had to be 13, but what if they were under 13 and they couldn't go to their mama? Then they hide it until they can try to get some help.
Right.
And it may be too late then.
You know, technically we're not supposed to help them, but, you know, they are. We're not going to let we're not going to let you walk away, but we can get sued and so forth and so forth.
But
and so
some
forth.
Kids are going to listen to that and think about it. But you can't really go if you hear, oh, you ain't 13. You have to lie. And if they can't lie, they get so nervous, they're scared about it,
right.
You know, then they're holding in.
Right. Right.
That's why you should have somebody that you can talk to. Tell your child, if you can't talk to me, go to auntie, go to cousin, go to somebody, and let them know what's going on.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, go ahead, Black Porter. What about your daughter? Since you only have two.
Well, hold on. Let me bring in another caller real quick. Black Porter, can we? 347-418. You're on the air. What's your name and where you're calling from?
What up, Crusty Baby?
Oh, hi.
My phone is charging right now.
Okay.
All right.
I just didn't recognize his number. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you ain't recognize his number.
Right.
Yeah,
you got
supposed to.
Yeah, right. Talk to him like
yeah.
Like you're on air when you go over. Like, I wasted that good.
Oh, that good number inside. I can't find, you know. No, this is not even my other number. This is my sister's number. Real talk. You know, this is Chevy Baby. Big
Hi.
Chevy Baby, 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 Baby. You know.
Okay. Hey, Big Chevy Baby. Okay. Black Reporter, you got two grown kids. I know times are different. Shit, times are different when you was younger.
Well, actually, there. Okay, only one is grown. Only one is grown. The other one is 16.
Okay, well, let's talk about the one that's grown. And I'm only going to ask you because you was Mr. Mom in your relationship, right?
Well, I was Mr. Mom for one of my daughters.
Right.
But that daughter is a 16-year-old, and she's very intelligent, and actually she's more into the book than she was before.
Uh-huh.
She didn't get divorced until recently, me and wife got divorced.
Uh-huh.
Because when I went back there for her 8th grade graduation, she had gotten into boys yet.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there were a couple of boys who were into her, but my oldest there, like I said, we lived in a white neighborhood, and there were a couple of boys who were interested in her.
Uh-huh.
She just played them off like, oh, I can care less, you know. And we told her about drugs. Neither one of us smoked. So she never saw us smoking around the house or anything. And she never cared for us. So that was never important or anything. And drinking, we very seldom drank. And I don't think she picked up drinking. So, but that could be wrong, but at the same time, she's 22 and on her own and everything. But the only thing that I don't even think it's a concern per se, is the idea of them marrying someone outside their race. That's up to them. I mean, whatever turns them on, you know, I would prefer and they marry somebody black, but that's not the wish today. I mean, we have so many interracial marriages today that it's not even funny.
But
so,
why does it make a difference if he's black or not?
Well, I mean, for me, I prefer she married somebody black, but that's up to her.
Why do you prefer her to marry black?
Well, because, you know, it's been that way ever since a couple of generations back. A couple of generations back, with my great grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
My great grandfather was white. And he married my great grandmother. My mother was very light skinned. My grandmother, I had one grandmother who was very light skinned.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on my dad's side.
So you want some black?
Huh?
So you want some black ears in your life?
Exactly.
Oh.
That's just stuff.
All right. Is that it? Okay, Chef, you got
it.
Right, Chevy, you got a younger baby. Your baby is not going to be for like 10 years from now. But
I was thinking that when I went to the store,
out of all the stuff that you are actually witnessing and going through right now, out of the Trayvon Martin case, Irving Jefferson, teen pregnancy, all the stuff that you are going through, because you yourself, you're fairly young, and you hang around a lot of youth as well. Like, you hang out with your cousins and your fam and stuff like that, and they happen to be youth. So you are exposed to, I guess, the generation before us. What the fuck?
Yeah, like with the younger generation, they're not really even talking about the Trayvon Martin situation, and that's really sad that they're not even talking about it. I have a younger homeboy, and he's like probably 18, and he looks like Trayvon Martin, like totally looks like him, and he's not even like on the whole situation. I got nephews that are not even thinking about the whole situation, and like everybody that's younger, like, I say like 25 and younger, they're not really thinking about this.
Right.
And I think the reason why, because they're not having their role models, which are rappers, talking about it at all.
Well,
so if the role models ain't talking about it, why are they going to think about it?
Well, they do have role models talking about it. Shit, they got, I just seen an episode of David Banner did a whole speech on it. And you can find that
is,
he did an interview on it. I mean,
no, you think about David Banner.
I don't want to go back there. What I want to know is, if you had to give your daughter the talk today, whether it be race, whether it be about the race, the drugs, or the sex, how would you think you would, approach that?
How close that? I got a lot of nieces and nephews around that age group where I can actually have a conversation with them. But I leave it up to their mother. I leave it up to their parents. A lot of nieces, half nieces, great nieces.
Right.
Got all those. And I leave it up to their parents. But if I was to sit there approaching myself, I would sit there and tell them about, like, from, PC point of view. A black PC point of view, PC meaning politically correct point of view, without saying, like, white people are bad, whatever, and all that other stuff, which I don't believe myself.
White people are.
I believe.
Wow.
No, that's not how you put that. White people are bad.
No, there's a lot of black people that still believe that hot shit. Like, oh, white people are bad. I'm not gonna tell my nieces, nephews that. Like, no, of course not. Like, you have to make it. In America, black people officially are like, how much percent of America's population? Like 12% of America's population? You have to be realistic here. You have to be realistic. If they're not claiming Hispanic or they're not claiming white, we're still the minorities. So you have to be really realistic. Don't look at Obama and be like, okay, we're going to sit there and we're going to make a change. We can make a change.
Mm-hmm.
We're set up in a system where we can.
Mm-hmm.
If we're like 12% of the minority, if we're 12% of the population, what are we going to say? What are we going to do? You have to be realistic to, I have to be realistic to my nieces and nephews.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell them, like, straight up, it's 2012, yes, the president is black, but racism is still there, prevalent.
Right.
If you walk down the street and you're wearing a hoodie, unfortunately, there's a chance that the cops is going to harass you. You're wearing skinny jeans and a hoodie. You look like Wiz Khalifa. They're going to harass you. They're going to think you smoke. They're going to think you have weed on you. Real talk. So, personally, I would tell them, like, how I never got arrested. I'm 31 years old and never been arrested. And I can say that very proudly.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that very proudly. And I can... Huh?
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say. Wait, repeat that again? Okay. All right. Well, I just say that real proudly. So I just say don't
Hello?
But it's translate.
Translate what? Nobody's saying nothing. We waiting on you.
Nah, he's going in and out. When he's trying to say something, he's going in and out.
Who? Nobody
said. I say.
Nobody.
Have you ever been stopped and frisked?
Not really. I mean, they stopped and tried to frisk me, but yet and still, they didn't do a good job. Because I would have got a, I'd be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh,
they didn't
Lord.
Do a good job.
I know, right? He didn't have to chill. Right, he could have just said no.
Exactly. So you weren't guilty,
right.
You just went to court.
Right.
Let's move on,
Jeff.
Yeah.
No, they ain't frisking me right.
Right. Okay.
Because I'll be
all
in jail right now.
We are down to the ending of our show. We had a very productive show today, do y'all think?
Yes, I do believe we did.
I think we had a productive show today. Black Reporter semi-behaved today. We didn't have too much out of Black Reporter today. You have been listening to the Adult Zone with the Crush, myself, and Black Reporter over there in the corner.
And our first edition of True Crime.
And this is a brand new segment called True Crime. Thank you, Black Reporter. I appreciate you. Every time I compliment him, he always proves me wrong. Don't he? And I want to play my intro again because I think it's so awesome. I did it all by myself. And I want everybody who missed it to hear it again. So please bear with me for 20 seconds.
Welcome to True Crime. In today's society, criminal activity is considered especially heinous. We are here to discuss and dissect these reported crimes. These are the stories.
That was awesome!
Yay!
Shout out to Law and Order.
Why did you check for that?
They
didn't check for that?
Right, they are. I just
okay.
Shout
out to Law and Order. I just sent it to them.
Okay, I ain't there.
That's
sure.
All they get paid for. I acknowledge them, damn it.
I bet. I'm sorry.
Shout out to the bright-ass chat room we have. We have a bright-ass chat room. We have Sun752 and Sunny Sunshine drang in there. We also had a guest rolling with us. Shout out to the guest, 12960, holding us down. Shout out to Renee, Lady C, John, everybody that checked us out. Really do appreciate y'all. Chevy Baby and his
Crazy. I'm gonna call you later.
Huh?
I'm going to call you later.
All right. And he's crazy. Right, he just want everybody to know he's not
the stuff. Exactly. Booty call I ask later.
He just want everybody to know that we talk. You know, I tell you.
Oh, my God.
We are heading on out, folks. Once again, I want to invite, thank everybody for tuning in, and I want to invite y'all to join us on
Thursday,
9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Thursday is going to be a very interesting show because Thursday is my favorite time of the month.
That don't sound right.
That don't sound right.
No.
Right, that didn't come out right, but y'all get what
it's
I'm saying.
Okay.
Right, that's my favorite time of the month. Like, y'all don't go together. But Thursday is Crush Room. You know, Crush Room. We have the Boom Boom Room.
Boom. Got that boom boom boom.
You got that boom boom boom
room.
And on the Boom Boom, I think I need to make an intro for the Boom Room. I'm mad hype right now. Okay. On the Boom Boom Room, we will be talking about do women truly enjoy anal sex? Or just
a
way to satisfy their significant other.
What do we do?
I got my idea.
All right. Also, we'll have, if a man likes to have... Hello. I'm still talking. Thank you. If a man likes to have his butt play with during sex by woman, does this make him bisexual?
Yeah, man.
And you're also asking, are you really practicing safe sex? And we're going to have tunes. Once again, this is Thursday, April 12th, 9 p.m. Eastern. That call-in number, log it into your phone, folks, 805-830-8320. We're also on Facebook at Hearts Radio. This is a Full Fantasy Radio. We also have a brand-new group called the Fancy Lounge. And we fancy. And tonight is Hot Tea Tuesday. Tomorrow is Womanly Wednesday, where we have all women issues. Thursdays, each day have its own theme. So we got the Boom Boom Room popping on Thursday. We got a group room. We got a group on Facebook. You know, you can go to the website, phone page, or video.
Hello?
Hello? Okay, you can go to the website, phonefantasyradio.com. Now, while I was screaming so much, this guy goes into the fucking store and he got all this loud background noise. Thank you very much, Chef, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. Good grief.
You had to go get some Black and Miles. Leave him alone.
Oh, no.
At least I know it wasn't me.
Right, it wasn't you this time. Okay.
Tonight.
Right, it wasn't him tonight, right. Okay, so we got the Fancy Lounge on Facebook. Once again, you can go to the website, phonefantasyradio.com, and you can get all our links. You can look into the fantasy news. I try to keep you up to date on what's going on and what's happening. You can also connect to brickshouse.com. We also have description of all our shows. We also have a brand new segment called Pillow Talk, a virtual slumber party, where me and my co-host Brick are in our pajamas having a good old
time
on cam. So y'all need to look forward to that next week.
Live.
Come back on next week. I think we're talking about next week we're talking about what's that? Shut up. We're talking
I don't about, know. Oh, God.
Abstinence. Oh! Right, I couldn't think of abstinence. Right, we're talking about abstinence and...
Yes, and I will be attempting a live demonstration.
Abstinence, doing a live demonstration of abstinence. I like that, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to have a live demonstration.
And celibacy. There we go. Nobody else knew the word, damn it.
Celibacy.
Now I'm sitting up here trying to find the word. Now she says it. You're late.
I'm
trying to find the word. Right. We'll be talking about abstinence and practice of celibacy and so forth and so forth next Tuesday on the Adult Zone. What's going down for Brick House?
I'm dear.
Right. What's going down for Brick House on Thursday? On Monday.
Monday, we are going to have... we're going to continue the exploration of the behind, so to speak, because we will be talking about to be or not to be homo or no homo. We will be discussing homosexuality, and we will be discussing it in men, and we will be discussing it in women. And we're going to explore. Don't see. We're going to explore those taboos. We're going to talk about men and women. About homosexuality, we're going to talk about men who have been turned recently, who have been bisexual and at one point decided to make a decision on whether they wanted to be bi or straight. And I'm expecting a special guest. Mm-hmm. So you'll definitely want to hear what this brother has to say.
Oh.
Wow,
about
having
his,
it is
in the can. Because
oh.
He likes his meat in the can.
Oh.
Happy to hear that.
I like
so we were talking about this gentleman.
I need to go to the forum and find some people. Like, I have a show. I need some volunteers.
Yes, find these people. Facebook is full of these people who want to tell their story.
I can find some. I can find the ladies. It's hard to find the
men. For men who are interested, I don't know, I may have to move this show tonight. I don't know, because he's going to talk about the actual receiving of the tool. So we're going to get real graphic.
So, yeah, you might have to, we have to make
and
that.
And Black Reporter, I need you front and center. Black Reporter will take side chair at that show. Okay?
Oh.
Yes, Black Reporter, I need you there. Thank you very much for volunteering.
I want to.
It's time for you to go to bed.
And if I might, I'd also like to. I'd like to also, Mr. Sun 752 has a show that comes on Saturday mornings. It's called Something to Do Before You Go Out on a Saturday Morning. Did I say it right?
It's called The Reset. The Sun Always Shines Show. That's his tagline, you'd be saying. But something to do before you go out and spend your Saturday morning.
Right. I don't know. I tried. But definitely it's an interesting show. It comes on 9:30 Saturday mornings on Blog Talk. I'm going to see if we can get that link and kind of start circulating this brother's show.
It's blogtalkradio.com/fun, F-U-N, the number 7, 5, and the number 2.
So, exactly. Yeah. Support that brother's show. It's excellent.
All right, the Fun Away Time. So shout out to Fun 752 who has the background. And I want to say thanks to everybody. I'm going to be redoing my intros because now I'm on a streak.
She's hyped now.
I'm hyped now. I'm going to be doing Madden.
I can hear it now.
Listen to this.
That's hyped now. These locals. God.
Don't be surprised if you tune into your show Monday and you got a brand new intro. Don't be surprised.
Your ass will never stop working. This woman will never stop.
Right. This is not my intro. Don't be surprised. Y'all coming to Crush Grooves and it's a brand new intro.
She's always working to please y'all. You gotta love that. You gotta love it.
Phonefaceradio.com is the website. Black Reporter's getting so tired right now. Let me let him do
an
outro so he can go to his old ass
asleep. Uh-oh. Go ahead, Michael. What time there was that ceased to be in his head, no more. Yesterday is gone, forget about it. Tomorrow is in his head, don't worry about it. Today is here, make the most of it. Thank you.
Stand up.
Good night, y'all.
Y'all mess me up.
I get on a roll, y'all mess me up.
Don't blame us.
Go on now.
But wait a minute. I gotta cut in here. Black Reporter, wasn't you supposed to work on a new one? Wait, wasn't your homework to work on a new one? Why we don't have a new intro? I mean, new outro. I do the intros, you do the outros. Black Reporter, gotta work with me here, son.
All right.
You gotta
man and y'all.
Over. I do the intros. You do the outros. We gotta work on this, Black Reporter. We gotta work on this. But no, we're not gonna use it later, y'all. We're not gonna use it.
It's all you, Black Reporter. All you.
Right. We're not gonna use it later, y'all. But we're gonna have an outro. I'm gonna do an outro. That's my goal.
We want to see you once again for Crush Grooves on Thursday night. Join us. For Crush Grooves on Thursday
night. They want you to finish saying it, Black Reporter.
All right. What time there was that feast to be there is before. Yesterday is gone, forget about tomorrow is the end. Don't worry about it. Take care. Make the most of it. Stand up for something you believe in because you can fall for anything. If we didn't say everything you want to hear, you heard everything we said. I'm going to run down that. on your face, put a smile. We will see you,
see you in a while.
Little
while. Perfect.
And you are in.
Are in. And we
are out. I would get y'all to.
Are we strong?
We got it tonight.
Have you ever made love?
So wrong.
Have you ever made love on a couch?
Hey, Scott, Scott.
What am I asking? Have you ever made love?
Black Porter. He hurry up. I scared him off the line. Y'all scared him off the line. He hung up.
I'm out of here.
Y'all scared him off the line. Black Porter really did hang up, y'all. He really did.
Wow.
He really did hang up. You see
he
how
was
y'all
tired.
Right. You see how y'all done did our dude. Black Porter really hung up. He appreciate
that. He's
up that.
On bed. Forget y'all. He said he was sleepy. He didn't care.
He got tired.
Yep.
Right, he got tired.
He wants some warm milk, but he get in bed. Go get your warm milk, Black Porter. And get to bed. He got his two cookies and warm milk waiting. And he going to bed.
We love you, Black Porter.
We love you, Black Porter.
We love you. He's not going to hear it. We love you, Black
Porter.
Love you too, Sammy. I love you too, Sammy. Yeah, I love you too, Greg. I like that picture you put up in the group. I love you. Oh, okay. Let's make a sandwich. Let's make a sandwich. Right. Make a sandwich. Yeah, exactly. Whatever y'all both saying at the same time. Right. Let's make a sandwich. I want to rub peanut butter.
I want to rub peanut butter on
sandwich.
I want to rub peanut butter on sandwich.
I don't know.
A Chevy sandwich.
Shout out to
Chevy sandwich. Let's go. I'm hungry.
You hungry?
I need to eat.
You need to eat.
Yeah, let's
you
eat.
Eat.
I'm going to eat.
You
gonna
eat?
Let's
wanna
go.
Uh oh.
I'm going to be there in like an hour.
Okay.
Now I'm walking.
You walking?
Yeah, I'm walking from Brownsville. Let's go.
Oh,
wow.
A Chevy sandwich.
No.
You see, Claudia, you always sign on me. I understand.
No, not doing that.
Oh, yeah, you're a nice girl. Let me stop.
Shit. She's a nice girl.
You in Brooklyn?
Hell yeah.
You in Brooklyn?
Yeah, Lady C in Brooklyn.
No. What part of Brooklyn you at?
Lady C lives in Bed-Stuy.
I'm gonna go to Bed-Stuy. That's a cool shed too. I'm in Brownsville. Let's go.
Oh my god. Where
you see Bed-Stuy?
I'm not too far from Bed-Stuy.
Oh,
I'm hungry.
Rude.
You know what, Shelby? Wow. I'm so mad at you right now.
Nah, I'm sorry, Push. No, Push.
I'm mad at you. Hold on. Let me tell you why I'm mad at you. I'm mad at you.
Get mad at me.
You know me as long as I've been doing my show. Okay.
Of course.
You know me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lady C has been calling the show for 2 years. How do you know that she's not in Baton Rouge, Louisiana? How do you not know that?
Baton Rouge, wait, hold up. I thought I was talking to Greg. I wasn't talking to Greg?
She said Lady C is in Bed-Stuy. And you like, I'm going to Bed-Stuy. Like...
Crush, it ain't like that. Crush, you know I love you. I'm gonna come over tonight.
And I see it. The first sign of somebody, not me, you just ran to them. They said, I'm going to be in there.
Crush, that's flirting. That's what you call flirting, Crush. Crush, you know my heart, Dad.
That's what you call making plans.
I love that chocolate.
Ooh,
I love that chocolate, Crush. Oh,
Lord.
Say anything now. You say anything.
Of course.
Fuzz, I can't come over?
Damn.
Hey, you guys, how you guys me? You see, this is what, you know what, Brick? This is how it is, though. This is really how it is. It really is.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Not
Chevy.
Okay. Let me broker a deal. You can come over and see Crush tonight on one condition.
Yeah.
You gotta eat the ass.
Oh, I don't want that.
Let's go. Crush, let's go. I'm coming over tonight.
I want to do that.
I'm walking. It's gonna take me an hour to get there. I'm not taking no bus. I'm not taking no cab. Nigga, pop right now.
He's on the way, Crush. So get ready.
I don't want that. Rick, he wants to do that.
Get ready. Get ready,
Crush.
Yeah,
so why you
don't matter? Broke no deal for me. You just, I don't want that. He want to do that.
Why?
She don't want that.
He want, I don't want that.
Well, I think my phone about to die.
I don't want to have the responsibility.
His phone about to die.
You
don't
have
to look at something.
You
ain't got no coffee.
Right, he ain't got no coffee.
You ain't got no coffee.
This is what I was talking about. Thank you. This is what I'm talking about. See, y'all heard it for y'allself. We will continue conversation. We will continue conversation Thursday. Once again, get your song requests in here. If y'all have any song requests, Lady C, you need to text me.
Oh, shit.
Your song request.
We still recording?
Yeah, we're still recording, folks.
I can barely hear what's going on in the conversation.
Let me find out if you thought this was the party line. If you got the Mr. Blow, blow with us. No, this is not the party line.
Oh, shit, I said that derogatory statement?
Yes.
Lady C, why you say that?
That
Lady
wasn't
C.
Lady C. Voice is totally different.
Why you said that?
I don't know why you said
that. Talk about eating Gary Air. Oh, God.
No,
I didn't say
break.
Nothing of the such. I didn't say that.
Yes.
You know,
I'm mad all our men are disappearing. The only man we have left is John. Hi, John.
What's up?
Hi.
Hey, you ladies remind me of Klondike cars. No, man. Hey, I got some hot dogs if you want.
You know what? I can't take this.
I'm barbecuing actual hot dogs. Come on in my kitchen.
Jesus,
I
we got left is
all you ladies got to do is bend over. I'll do the cooking.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
You want to stick your hot dog in my bun? You want to stick your hot dog in my bun? No way. Talk about pig.
Oh, hey, I got other guests. I got a nice collage of pictures in my apartment.
It's going to be called Pig in a Blanket. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, tits in a blanket.
Tits in a blanket.
Oh, Lord.
You
oh,
want to
Lord.
Get... To get
I can't tell you. I got me a nice autographed picture in my living room. Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Not going to ask you what or who.
No, it's somebody big.
No. We don't
want to
know.
Okay. Well, then come to my apartment. You'll find out.
Look, he invited people over. That's crazy.
No, he's a black woman. I got him double.
Daddy. John be
hey, even Michael Jackson's going to be here.
Wow.
I'm gonna give John his own show. John need to be the co-host of the locker room. I'm gonna talk to Black Reporter about that. John and Black Reporter do the locker room.
No, man, we'll start a show for the women called Big Black Asses.
Oh,
oh my goodness. That's for the women?
Yeah, that's for you.
Hello?
You had her on the air one time, Crush. She's, I think, from Chicago, man. Supreme Diva.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm.
All of these four stars.
And she's on Facebook.
John has all of them.
He's taking it easy.
Melanie Rose. Simone Fox.
In Brownsville? Yeah. What you doing in Brownsville?
I'm asking.
Why
are you in his ass? You're not coming.
Huh? Did we go to overtime?
Walk? Yeah. I don't know.
Uh-huh. That's sweet of you.
Oh, yummy, yummy, yummy. I remember them fish.
They don't work for me.
He is begging for some ass, ain't he?
Hey, I got my tongue open.
Oh, my God. What the hell is going on with
you? Hey, I'll do anything you say. Oh, yeah, eat these mud pies. Oh, yeah, I love them.
John, what the fuck?
You eat anything, John, whatever she says to eat, huh?
No, man,
you
I'm having
no, people have
hot dogs.
You suck toes,
I got barbecue
John?
Sauce. It's kind of white, though.
You suck toes, John?
I
John.
Think you do.
John, you like toes, don't you?
Oh, I like big butts. And big
you
don't
like toes?
You don't suck toes, John?
Yeah, as long as they ain't got toe jam in them.
Okay.
Oh, what part don't you suck, John?
Right, I agree.
John?
Mm.
What part don't you suck?
When it happens, I ain't gonna say right now. I'll wait till Thursday.
No. Oh, you're gonna wait till Thursday. That's the only part you don't suck.
Yeah. Who in the hell keeps somebody keeps going in and out like they're in a fog on your line somewhere?
No.
Sounds like area code 347.
No, that's how you don't sound like area code 347.
You just hear
Crunch's
conversation.
Exactly. He always sounds like 347.
Crunch, come on, man. I can hear, yeah, I hear it in the background. She got that vibrator. It's going,
you know.
I'm sorry, folks.
What are
y'all talking about?
You're making
fun of my phone.
Yeah. Were
you just talking to Sharon?
Hey, a man who wears women's clothes can't be all that.
You just told the chef,
bro. You, baby.
Crush.
Huh? Crush. Were you just talking
to Chevy? Let's see.
Did I what?
Oh, yes. Klondike, original Klondike cars. Oh,
yes.
Because
yes.
We heard
the
phone.
I know.
We heard the.
You know what? You set that fool up. You know what?
Yep. I know.
He's begging like Billy. Damn.
Yeah.
Y'all leave Chevy, baby, alone.
Girl, let him come
please,
over and service
please,
you. Listen, this is what the horse was put there to do.
Shit, man, you
got to
get Ron Jeremy on the show, too, man.
Let the horse get his
ass
up and do what he has to do.
Yeah.
You tell the brute to do what you want him to do.
I don't know. You got to get Ron Jeremy on the air, man.
Yeah,
yeah, if you're going to get fucked, why get fucked by the gun?
Call that horse over and tell him to rub your back all night.
I don't want to rub my back all night.
I like, just massage my back, man. Just go back
to the hurts. Look, that hurts.
I like, don't talk. Care. Make sure you brush your teeth.
Oh, that hurts. Fine, right, damn it.
John, I'll suck your toes for you, LaCrush.
I don't know. Not either.
LaCrush, you paint your toes.
No. They need to be
painted.
My feet are looking like claws.
Crush, you wear a wig sometimes, honey.
They look like paws. Huh? I wear what?
You wear cute wigs, honey.
Thank you.
Yeah, but man, you gotta go skinless. Your short hair makes you look sexier.
I gotta go skinless.
He wants you to go skinless.
Yeah. With that
skinless?
No,
I don't know about
that. Skinless.
That means he has no skin on her.
I'm not
going to
say skinless, John.
I guess she wants to see him skinless, he said.
No, Skittles.
Did a white man just say Skittles?
Yes, he did.
Did a white man just say Skittles?
Skittles,
to me?
Honey. One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to blow.
Ooh. Okay, you know what?
John ain't his lines. John always got a line. Anyway, y'all need to tune
goodbye.
In.
Goodbye.
All right, bye. Tune in Thursday.
See you Thursday.
And,
I need to talk to you.
Hey, why don't you come over and help me paint my apartment?
I need to talk to you, Lady C. I need to talk to you, Lady C. Black Reporter won't give me your number. So,
I owe Black Reporter an apology because when we was talking about what movie would describe what our love is about, I said scary movie. I take that back. I'd have to say his reminds me of Casablanca.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, geez.
Okay.
All right.
My goodness.
Bye. I'm
okay. Bye. Come on, man. Come over and help me paint my apartment.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, I'll
come on, man. I got the bucket of paint out
good
right
night.
Now.
That's why you're acting the way you're acting. Sniff that. Stop sniffing.
John, what you drinking?
I ain't drinking nothing.
You drinking paint
vinegar. Lord, if you drink, we'd be in trouble. For real.
Oh, I'm drinking lighter fluid.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.